This study's really been really a blessing to me. And you're to receive a blessing from reading it, hearing it, and accepting it. Ooh, Revelation. You got your Bibles? Turn to the chapter of Revelation. I'm going to try to give you a little brief, where we were last week, in case some of you are just coming in on this. Some have referred to this book as Revelations. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It does contain revelations. The book was written somewhere around 94, 96 AD. There are two dates that theologians have been in debate. There's an earlier date that some believe around 60 AD that was written. The argument against that early date is the fact that the things that went wrong in the churches, it would have required more time for that to happen. So the later date of 94, 96 is the better date because it would allow for these churches to have more time to be in such disarray. Time, many times, is not friendly to us. And in this case, the churches involved were involved in a lot of corruption, and so it took some more years for that to occur, so the later date is favored over the earlier date. So the taking the later date would mean that the Emperor Domitian would be the emperor, Roman emperor, that was responsible for putting John on the Isle of Patmos. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give you an outline. Let's see how when we get to it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, just follow there with me, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. I will let you know that God's timing is different than ours. I heard about the coming of Jesus when I was a child, as you did as well. God gave this revelation to his son Jesus. Jesus in turn gave it to the angel. The angel in turn gave it to John, and John is giving it and sharing it to us. And it says, his servant John. It's interesting, our Lord had chosen John of the other apostles. He chose John. He's also referred to as the apostle John. But I want you to notice that he's referred to as a servant, his servant, John, who bared record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ of all things with that which he saw. These are things that he actually seen on the Isle of Patmos. In fact, I actually have a paper here somewhere. Where did I lay it? That shows the Isle of Patmos. There it is. This is a picture. If you were to go to the Isle of Patmos, located just off the coast of Turkey, Asia Minor in John's day, Turkey in our day, it's just a very small crescent-shaped island. It's 10 miles long, 6 miles at the widest part. If you were to go to the Isle of Patmos, you would see this building. It's presumed to be the exact spot that Apostle John was imprisoned, where he received these revelations. I'll ask Jed to look at it and just pass it around. That's a building that you'll find on the actual exact spot where John received the revelation. Revelation of Jesus Christ, he signified it by his angel to his servant. God gave the message to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to the angel, and John, and the angel gave it to John, and John gave it to the church. And then we find that word in there, must. Verse 1, which must shortly come to pass. It means it's absolutely certain that these events will take place. When? Shortly. Of course, we know God's timing is different than ours. But the Apostle John wrote it. He wrote what he saw. the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is called the book of sevens. Seven churches, seven spirits, seven sealed judgments, seven trumpet judgments, seven bowl judgments, seven thunders, seven blessings, seven I ams. There are 54 sevens in the book of Revelation. And so that's why many scholars call it the evidence of divine inspiration, because of this number seven. God has chosen to use that as his number. It's interesting. On the seventh day in creation, God did what? He rested. He rested. Created the Sabbath day for man, not man for the Sabbath, but he created the Sabbath for man to rest, to take it easy, to stop work. It was seven. We have a blessing pronounced upon us if we read and hear and keep these things. And then we read in verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, was, and is to come. Now there's our outline. There, right there, we'll just take that right away as an outline. We'll make it real easy for you. Chapter 1. Which is chapters 2 and 3, which was, and chapters 4 through 22, it's real easy, and which is to come, real easy. The prophecy, chapter 1, is the prophecy that John received. The church age is chapters 2 and 3. And chapters 4, 22 is that is to come. It's just three outlines. The church age. And I want to get to that. I want to talk about peace and grace. Without the grace of God, we'd perish. Without the peace of God, we'd be unsure of our salvation. I'm thankful today that I have the peace of God. And I trust and hope that you also will have the peace of God in your life. Are you sure of your salvation? Are you absolutely sure? You draw your last breath, you'll be going to heaven. You need to be sure. You really need to have God's assurance. And you can have that. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Are you going to sin after those things? Sure, you'll sin after you've accepted Christ as your Savior. But God will forgive you. That's why he's an intercessor. That's why he's a high priest. He is ever interceding for you. Scotty sings that song. He's ever, ever, ever interceding for you. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. I believe that where we were last Sunday is the seven spirits. The seven spirits which are before the throne. Verse 4. Which are the seven spirits which are before the throne? We went to Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. There's where we found the seven spirits. They are, for number one, the spirit of the Lord, which is the nature of Jesus. The spirit of wisdom is the ability to make the right decisions. The spirit of understanding is the ability to understand everything. The spirit of counsel is to be able to give sound advice. The spirit of might is the power to do what God wants. The spirit of knowledge is the ability to know beyond any human comprehension. And the spirit of the fear of the Lord is to respect God's will. Simply respecting God's will. Not being afraid of God, but respecting him. Respecting him. Verse 5. We're going to just read these verses, and I'll try to comment a little on each of them, so we'll keep moving on. Verse 5. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, aren't you glad today that you've been washed with his precious, precious blood? Jesus is a faithful witness. In the Old Testament, he said that these things needed to be done in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let everything be established. So here we see Jesus is a faithful witness. Of course, we have two other witnesses, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established, so we know that Jesus was one of those faithful witnesses. He was the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory of the only begotten. He was also the firstborn from the dead. Jesus had to be the first one to go to heaven. And I don't have time today to get involved, but I'm thinking about having a study of hell. Where is hell located geographically? It's in the center of the earth. Also Tartarus, also Gehenna, also a place called Hades and Paradise, also the pit. These are all places. We're going to talk about their locations and talk about them in particular. Jesus was the firstborn to go to heaven. He was the firstborn. That means there was a place called paradise. And all those people from the Old Testament, from Adam until Jesus, were kept in a place called paradise. And they had to stay there. When they died, they didn't go to heaven immediately. They couldn't go to heaven. They had to be in a place called paradise. By the way, paradise is in the same location where Hades or hell is. It's in the center of the earth. And you say, well, there's molten lava in the center of the earth. Listen to me. Don't be influenced by those scientific teachers. Jesus made the earth. They didn't. And if he wants to put hell in the center of the earth, he can do it. And that's where it's located. And that's where paradise was located. Now, there was a great gulf fixed between paradise and Hades or hell. And all those saints from Adam to Jesus were kept in a place called paradise because they could not go to heaven. Jesus had to go to heaven. In the book of Ephesians, it says he led captivity captive. It means he went into the lower parts of the earth, Ephesians chapter 6. He went into the lower parts of the earth to lead captivity captive. And he went, and Peter says he preached to those spirits that were in prison or in Hades. Preached to those spirits. He went there. When Jesus was 3 days in the heart of the earth, he wasn't in that tomb. I can tell you that. He was in Hades preaching to the spirits that Peter said. He was down there preaching to them. And then he led captivity captive. What does that mean? That means he took all those from Adam to the time that he was able to go to heaven. He took all those souls that were in paradise. He took them. And he was the first one to heaven, and he took all those. Now that area in paradise is empty. It's empty. But Gehenna, or hell, is going to enlarge itself. The prophet Isaiah said that area would need to be enlarged. Because you know why? There's more people going to hell than what the Lord wanted to go. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. But he's making a place for those who will not accept him. And that'll encompass the area of paradise. That gulf will be done away with. And then hell will enlarge itself, Isaiah the prophet said. And of course, that'll take over the area of paradise. It's no longer being used. Are you with me? Maybe, is this the first time you heard that? Probably is. And when you understand that, it makes it real easy to understand everything else. All right, I got to move on. It's 10 of them watching it, so you won't have to. All right. He's the firstborn of the dead. Jesus was the first to die and be raised from the dead. He never died again, but others who were raised from the dead, they eventually had to die again. Lazarus died twice. How about that? And all the other ones that Jesus raised, they died again. He died twice. If you're born once, you'll die twice. If you're born twice, you only die once. You catch that? Amen? Somebody was listening. The ruler over the kings of the earth, Jesus is in charge. One day will come. He will physically reign over every power on earth. Verse 6. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever. The Lord has made us a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood. You don't need to go to the priest when you're having problems. People can come to you and you can boldly enter into the throne of grace in time of need. And you can intercede for your friends or those in need. You can intercede for them. You can. You don't need to call the pastor or the bishop or the priest. You have been made a royal priesthood. priesthood. Verse 7, behold, he is coming. I could preach there. I could really do some preaching right there. He is coming with clouds. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, why do you stand here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going away will come again in likewise manner. As you've seen him go, you're going to see him come. He left in clouds and he's coming back in clouds. Clouds seem to be the transportation for Jesus. They bring him and take him. He don't need them. I don't know why he uses clouds. He wouldn't really need them. But he created them for a reason. But we're told he'll be coming with clouds. And how is it that every eye will see him? How's that? Oh, yeah. We're living in a time and age when everybody's going to see him. Huh? In the time when he was here? No. But we're living in the day and age when you can see anything happening in Israel. You can see it. You can see it in Turkey. You can see it anywhere in the world. You can see it. Every eye will see it. Every eye will see it. When he comes, every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him. How's that? Aren't them people dead that pierced him? But who's he referring to? Not only those that did the actual piercing, like the soldiers that put the nails in his hands, or the soldier that took the spear and pierced his side and out came blood and water. He's not talking about those in particular, but who is he talking about? I'll read it for you, then you'll know. I'll show you who he's talking about. Zechariah the prophet, chapter 12. Oh, verse 10, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they will mourn for him as one that mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that's in bitterness for his firstborn. He's referring to the Jewish nation who cried, crucify, crucify. That's who he's referring to. It's they who pierced him. They'll ask him, how did you receive these wounds? And he'll reply, I received them in the house of a friend. He's referring to his people as a house of a friend. All the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Why will the unbelievers mourn? Because they rejected him. That's why they'll mourn. They rejected him. Verse 8, still with me? Are you following after? I am the Alpha and the Omega. What's Alpha mean? Beginning. And what's Alpha? And that's the first letter of the what? Of the Greek alphabet. Revelation was written in Greek. It's the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So what he's saying is, and it says it right here, it's explaining it. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end, says the Lord. Here's our outline. Who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty? We have those three phrases, three areas. Amen. All right. My spiritual brother, verse 9. John, I want you to notice that. Now, John, sometimes people say, what you like to be called, Reverend or Pastor? No, just call me Roger. You know, it's interesting that that's what John said. I, John. John didn't, he could have said, I the Apostle John. I, whom the Lord lovest. I, whom was called from my mother's womb. He doesn't say any of that. He just simply says, John. I, John. I, John. You know what that tells me? If you study the Gospels, you'll find in all the Gospels, the only one that records it is John. John at the crucifixion, he is standing with Mary, the mother of Jesus. John is standing with her. And as Jesus looks down from the cross, he's soon ready to say it's finished. He looks down and he sees his mother that bore him. And you know what he said? He said, woman, behold your son. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what Mary beheld that day when she saw that little fellow that she used to cradle and hold in her arms, hanging that cross that was nothing but a bloody mess? He was a bloody mess. He was blood from head to toe. And he said, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to John, "John, behold your mother. Take care of her." And the Bible says from that day forth, John took Mary to his own house to take care of her. There's no other recording in the Gospels. Only John recorded it. So that tells me something about John. Doesn't say where the other disciples were there at the cross. Doesn't say anything. It just says John and his mom was there. Now, maybe the other disciples were beholding Jesus afar off, like some of them were. The Bible says they were afar off. They weren't right up against the cross, but John and Mary were right up at the cross. They witnessed Jesus taking his last breath. You know what? I think John died that day too with Jesus. John died to all his selfish ambitions. He died to all the parts of John that John was proud of. He thought in his own life, but he counted it as loss, like the Apostle Paul had to do. He counted it as loss for the excellency of the gospel of Christ. And that's why John says, just John. I, John, John to the seven churches, I, John. He doesn't say anything else. He doesn't make any boast of his apostolship. He's just John. I like that about John. John, I, John. Verse 9. Both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was on the island that's called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Those are the two reasons why John was exiled to Patmos. He was pastoring in the church of Ephesus at the time, and they came and got him, and they took him to the Isle of Patmos. And there he was exiled. That's where he received the revelation. It's just a small island in the Aegean Sea. It was there where he was imprisoned by Domitian. And this is why he explains his suffering. What was his crime? Two things. He would not deny the truth of the Bible, and he would not deny the witness of Jesus Christ. John would rather be cast in prison than killed, than to reject Christ. We're in the process of winning crowns. There is crosses to bear before we receive them. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. John was in prison. Christians have adopted the practice of worshiping on Sunday. There was two reasons for that. First one is Jesus arose when? On Sunday, the first day of the week. The second reason is Pentecost falls on Sunday, Acts chapter 2. 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, Pentecost falls on this day, Sunday. Sunday was the Lord's day. And John was obviously praying when the Holy Spirit came and took control of him. And while under the Spirit's influence, John heard these unusual voice, a voice that sounded like a trumpet. And someday you and I will hear the trumpet of God and we'll be raised from the dead. John heard the voice like a trumpet when he was called to heaven. John was in prison on a faraway island, but Jesus knew exactly where he was. He knows exactly where you're at today. He knows exactly what you're going through today. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, or today in Turkey, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I have a big chart I just picked up at the Bible bookstore. It has a chart and shows actual pictures. I believe they're actual locations, portions of the churches that still remain. There's just some archaeological findings there. Then there's some porches of each of these churches that still remain to this day. If you go to Turkey, you can actually see these portions of these churches that still stand today. I want you, now that I mentioned these seven churches, it's interesting, there were many, many more churches, probably hundreds of churches by this time. There was hundreds of churches. Why this seven? There was a reason. It was a prophecy. These were not just church. They were churches that were actual churches that were started, probably, I would guess, probably by Apostle Paul, that he started these. These are actual churches, but this is also talks about you and I and talks about the church through the years. When Jesus died and was resurrected and went to heaven and Pentecost took place on 50 days after the resurrection, that was the birth of the church. 50 days after the resurrection was the birth of the church age. The church age, at that time, the church age began. We are still in the church age. How many years have we been in the church age, church? Does anyone know? Over 2,000 years. We've been in the church age for over 2,000 years. But that's about to change because Jesus is coming. The rapture's going to take place. That's the next thing that's going to happen in this prophecy is the rapture. So we're going to take a few minutes next Sunday and we're going to talk about the church age. I don't know how much we'll be able to talk about, but we're going to talk about what's been happening in the last 2,000 years. In my class, that was a 6-month study. I'm going to try to make it a 2-Sunday study with the Lord's help. It is actually a 7 church age period for 2,000 years. Well, the Lord actually, it was a prophecy. The Lord knew what was coming upon the church. He knew the church would go through a time of persecution. It would go through a time of the dark ages, the medieval times, and all that's in this in church history. It's all happened. It's all recorded. What the church went through, and the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, revealed this to John. Of all the things that would happen to the church in church history, all the different things that would come against the church, how the church would be persecuted, and there would be thousands, millions of people's lives would be lost during this church period, which we call the church age. And when the church age is over, the rapture will take place, and then when the Antichrist signs a peace agreement, the tribulation period will begin, and we'll start verses 4 through 22. It has to do with the tribulation week. That's why I wanted you to understand what the tribulation week is, because I would say 7/8 of the book of Revelation has to do with the tribulation week. And I'll show you that we won't be here in tribulation week. We won't be here. We'll be up there. And I'll show you in scripture why we believe that. Show you the scripture so you know why the church is up there. Another interesting thing that we know is the church has to do with chapters 2 and 3. That's the church age. Revelation 2 and Revelation chapter 3. That's the church age. Do you know what book of the Bible deals with the chapter for the church age for us? Matthew. Write this down. Matthew chapter 13. The entire chapter of Matthew has to do with the church age. When we get into church age, I'll be reading scriptures from Matthew 13. And it tells you about the church age, and Matthew chapter 13 is the church age. So we'll be, Lord willing, in the next few weeks talking about the church age. In the meanwhile, we'll try to get a picture of the priest. I noticed that the bookstore had a picture of the high priest. This is what John sees. John sees this. He sees the man. Verse 13, we're not going to get into that, but we'll get into that next week. Let's take one more verse, verse 12. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. You know that we are the light. The church is the light of the world. Go ye into the world and be will to be light and salt. And that's our commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, that's the church's commission. We are lampstands. We are light to the world. The world is dark, but we're to be light. I heard the voice behind me. I saw there were seven golden lampstands. The seven golden lampstands represent the seven churches. The seven churches represent seven different periods of church age, which we'll try to get into some of that a little bit next week. Oh, brother, I just enjoy, I could go for another 4 hours. I just love it. If you ask me what I like, what's my favorite part of the scriptures, it would probably be prophecy and the life of Jesus Christ. Those are my two of my popular subjects that steer to me. The life of Christ and prophecy. Those are my two favorites. Hallelujah. Are you ready to go? Are you ready for the rapture? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, I don't know if I'm ready. Would you slip a hand up? I'll pray with you right where you're seated. I don't know if I'd be ready. There's one. I want you to be sure. There's another one. I want you to be sure about this. Anyone else? I'm going to pray with you. All right, you can put it down. I saw three of them. Any more? You don't need to worry about your salvation. There's another one. Don't worry about your salvation. That's not something that you need to be afraid about. Oh, you know Mary, Gerald's wife Mary, that the Lord took? She said, I was afraid. I didn't know if I'd go to heaven or not. But she told me when I visited her, she said, you know, I know where I'm going now. And she was ready to go. I want you to be ready to go. I want you to never fear about tomorrow. Don't you be afraid about tomorrow. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Every head bowed. I'm going to pray for you right now. Jesus, thank you for these hands. And you know, many years ago, I would have put my hand up too because I wasn't sure. I was uncertain about tomorrow. I was afraid to die. But I'm so glad today that I don't need to be afraid to die. Sudden death is sudden glory for me. And I'm glad I'm able to say that. Father, I want to thank you for that assurance. And Lord, I want to pray with these here right now. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to pray this prayer right now. You can do it quietly, just moving your lips. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of all the times I've come short of your glory. Forgive me of that. I invite you to come and live in my heart from this day forward. I want you to live in my heart. And then, Lord, I want you to give me that assurance and peace that I know I don't need to be afraid anymore. I don't need to be afraid of tomorrow. Lord, give me that assurance right now. Let your Holy Spirit come in and fill me. Let your Holy Spirit just fill me right now. Fill me. Help me to live the life that you want me to live. There'll be times that I'll mess up. There'll be times I'll make wrong decisions. There'll be times that you'll not be happy with me. But Lord, I know one thing. You love me and you'll forgive me. And I know, Lord, that I'll see you someday. And I want everyone here to be able to say that same thing. I'm ready to go. I don't need to fear about tomorrow because, Lord, you hold tomorrow in your hands. Father in heaven, we thank you for each and every one today. Grateful for the honor and privilege we have of sharing your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.